James 5, begin reading verse 13. Excuse me. That's James chapter number 5, begin reading verse number 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. If you look closely at verse number 15, he's speaking here of the prayer of faith. The physical shall save the sick, and also if he has any spiritual need here of committing any sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias, meaning Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth but a space of 3 years and 6 months. But thank God he prayed again. Amen. And the heaven gave the rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. My message this morning by the help of the Lord is, it's amazing what prayer can do. Amen. It's simply amazing what prayer can do. If you believe in prayer, if you believe by faith that when you pray, amen, that mountains can be removed. Sister Amanda, bless her heart, coming back from the Holy Land, give me some mustard seeds. The tiniest of all seeds. I began to look at those mustard seeds, the first I've ever seen. I thank her for that little gift. It's precious. I put it in my collection. But those mustard seeds and what Jesus had said, just faith of a grain of a mustard seed. We can say unto the sycamore tree, unto this mountain, be thou removed, and it shall be moved to yonder place. How many believes in the power of prayer? Amen today. We all have the testimony we can share one to another. It's just amazing what prayer can do. But by the help of the Lord, I want God's will to be done here. And let us realize this morning that God is still God that hears and answers prayer. It may seem that a period of time that God has forsaken you, you may feel that you're all alone in your struggle, but believe me, He's there. Amen. Oh, yes, and He's going to be there, and He's going to see you through it. You believe that this morning? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful once again that we can come and share this blessed word. God, amen, I pray that this anointed, inspiring, infallible word, amen, God, would go forth, that you can give grace to the hearers, knowing that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Lord, we are believers knowing that there is power in prayer. Your word teaches us as Elijah was a man that was subject to like passions as we are, but he prayed earnestly. God, how that we need to pray earnestly for the needs that we have here in this service. God, let us be, amen, amen, a people that can humble ourselves before an altar and ask you to rain your spirit upon us today. Amen, we need Satana glory in this place. We need a move of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we need a stirring in our soul to move us closer to thee. We desire a closer walk like we never walked before. Hallelujah. Lord, we desire a fresh touch. Amen. In your presence in our life, God, I pray that you'll heal the sick and save the lost. Touch the backslider that has drifted away from you. Have mercy upon them today. Lord, help us to realize that you're a God that will never forsake us. You're a God that's ever been true and evermore faithful. Help us, Lord, to turn to you in that faithfulness to know that you're God that's very present here today. And what is ever accomplished, we will forevermore praise you. And everyone that loves the Lord, deep down in your heart, can say amen. And you may be seated. Hallelujah this morning. Amen, church. I realize, amen, many times in life we have problems that occur and we struggle from time to time. Amen. At times we feel like we have knelt in prayer and taken our request to God many times. Even though the scripture teaches us to make our request be made known unto God in prayer and thanksgiving and supplication in the Spirit. And therefore many times that when we come before God, amen, we must see the need to tarry and wait upon the Lord. He said, now if you wait upon the Lord and be of good courage, he shall strengthen thine heart. He said, wait, I say, upon the Lord. For those that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Amen, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I come to, amen, know a long time ago that when I pray and continue to pray for a need that I have, that God does not overhear what I'm trying to pray for. Amen, praise God. I don't feel like I'm praying amiss. I'm praying in faith, believing that God will hear and answer me. Amen. His ear is open to the cry of the righteous. How many believe that this morning, that his arm is not too short that he cannot save, and his ear is not too heavy that he cannot hear? I'm glad to know the same God that touched Elijah is touching you. The same God that touched Elisha is touching you and touching me. Amen. And God is no respecter of persons. We can walk in faith and not doubt. If we walk in faith and ask in faith, amen, and never doubt, I believe that God's going to come right in the midst of our struggle and say, son, I heard you the first time. Amen. Oh, yes, we're going to be tried by the fire, and we're going to have to realize that there's a struggle therein, and there's afflictions that we're going to have to endure in these things in life that we're going to have to face. But I come to know, church, a long time ago that God is still making me. No more, he said in Jeremiah 18, amen, to the prophet Jeremiah, he said, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there's a work on the wheels. Amen, there's a work for God to do for you and me, church. We got to realize that we're in the palm of his hands, just like he said unto Israel, amen, you're in the palm of my hands, you're graven in my hands. I know everything about you. I know your thoughts from afar off. I know what's in your heart and in your mind. I know every step you take. And God is good, church. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I believe that this morning. And God knows it all. If he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, if a psalmist could say, amen, I look into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. I'm glad to know he is our help. He's my strength. He's the length of my days. He's my breath. I move and I have my being with God because life is in me. I have life. I have it flowing within me because of Jesus Christ, for he is life. And I'm glad to know, church, we can look around and we can pray and we can give in prayer requests. But I want to see faith move God. And faith is what moves God. If the woman who had the issue of blood 12 years pressed to the crowd, and when Jesus could see and know that this woman was in the midst of that crowd, but she made her way through and she reached out and touched the border of his garment. When Jesus turned about and said, who touched me? He felt virtue go out of him. What did he feel, church? He felt faith from this woman who had gave all to many physicians, but she grew worse day by day. Amen. But she pressed her way through until she touched Jesus. That's what we got to realize this morning. You got to reach out in faith and believe God for the impossible, knowing that all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. You believe that this morning? It's amazing what prayer can do. I received a phone call the other day. Amen. From Brother Matt Gillum. See, Brother Matt Gillum's daughter married my nephew, so we're in the family. Not this Gillum family, thank the Lord. Amen. But the other set. Amen. But anyway, that's another subject, ain't it, brother? But anyway, we received the call, amen, to pray for Brother Mac's granddaughter. She started complaining with a bad headache, and she passed out, and they took her up, rushed her to the hospital, began to examine her, and come to know that she had an aneurysm. So they said, pray, pray. So they was going to rush her on, I believe it was Charleston Hospital, to do more tests. Amen. Already been diagnosed that she had an aneurysm, complained of that very severe headache, rushed her on down to the hospital, and I began to imagine a mother's love for her little girl. I said, oh, God, we began to pray. About 8 or 9 years old, this little girl. Amen. They rushed her on down there, and people began to pray everywhere. I'm sure they called on people to pray. Amen. Everywhere that they could think of. So they took her on down there, and they began to run those tests. And the doctor came out. He said, I don't see no aneurysm anywhere. If there is one there, it's gone now. Amen, it's gone now. And these doctors may say what has happened, but I'm telling you, church, it's amazing this morning. It's amazing what prayer can do. Amen, from one day to the next, from one moment to moment. Amen, it's amazing to me if people that get together and pray and seek the face of God will come to know, amen, what God can do in prayer, what God will do in prayer. Amen. Amen. It amazes me. Amen. Glory to God. That little girl now is back home. Praise God. Amen. You know what happened about a month or so ago to her father, which pastors the Conway Church of God? He's a close friend of mine, Brother Stuart Jacobs. I don't know if some of you know him. Amen. But here, this is what God will do to a praying man. Amen. Anybody that sells out for the ministry, God will supply all your needs. Amen. Hallelujah. How many believe that God shall supply all of our needs? And He'll even give you the desires of your heart for anybody that prays and does the Lord's will. Anyway, Brother Jacobs was there one night. They said probably about 9 or 10 o'clock at night. Already went to bed. Got a knock on the door. Amen. Two men come to the door. I think it was from the church. Saying, we need to talk to Brother Jacobs. And they thought something was terribly wrong. Amen. At this time of the night, you know, to knock on the door. Amen. We want his son to get up out of bed too. Hey, that's Ethan. He's about 13 years old. Amen. So they got out of bed, went into the living room. These men sat down really, really calm and trying to talk to him. Amen. They thought something was terribly wrong. You know how when you get a knock on the door, you know, late at night, and you think, what's going on? But he pulled out a set of car keys. He said, there's somebody, it's anonymous, amen, parked out in the driveway is a $60,000 SUV, and here's the keys, paid in full, amen. They thought, well, we thought maybe we was going to have to go to the hospital, go pray with somebody. But you see what I'm saying, church, to the faithful, God even gives us the desires of our heart. Amen. Praise God. God is able to do all things. Amen. God can move mountains. Your faith can move mountains. If we'll only pray and continue therein, God is going to bless. God's going to pour out His Spirit. God's going to touch Burdine Church in a way that we've never seen Him move before. For of the last days, He said, I'll pour out my Spirit upon the maids and the handmaids of that day. I will pour out my Spirit. I believe God's going to pour out upon the remnant. I believe God's going to pour out on those who pray. Who knows what it is to pray and continue therein. Smith Wigglesworth, great man of God. Some of you, I'm sure, has read some of his literature. But he was a man of faith, and he prayed. Amen. A little six-year-old girl who never walked was able to walk. Amen. The little boy, amen, that was dead, raised back to life. My wife was reading to me in that book last night, amen, about Smith. I believe it was in 1913. His wife went off to a preaching engagement. She was also a minister. She went out to preach, and something happened to her, and she died. Something quickly had happened. I don't know if it's a heart attack or what had happened to her, but she passed on. The men brought her body back to the house where Smith was, and there they had laid her there on the bed or on the sofa or whatever, and there she was dead. But old Smith prayed, and when he prayed, she opened her eyes and looked at him. And she said something like this, Smith, why did you do it? Why did you pray? God's finished with me. Amen. And they had a conversation there for a short time. And he come to the place that he could give her up. He had to come to that place. He knew that he needed her, but God needed her more. He was willing to give her up. And she closed her eyes and never opened them again. Amen. But this man had prayed.
Amen. The dead was coming back to life. The same works that Jesus was doing, we can do. All signs shall follow them that believe that in my name. Amen. They shall cast out devils. They shall tread upon serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Who believe that? Let's give him a good hand clap of praise. Church, it's amazing to me what prayer can do. It amazes me. Amen. My brother was an alcoholic for many years. We got saved the same year, 1979. Me and my brother and my father were saved all the same year. My dad was a sinner all my life while I was at home, but he was a good man, good moral man. When he'd drink a beer, he'd go out in the backyard and drink it. He wouldn't drink it around the children. When his friends would have come over, he was not a social drinker. He just drank occasionally. But he would drink with some of his old buddies every once in a while, smoke some cigarettes and do such things as a sinner would do. Amen. Until the Lord saved him. In his late 40s, he got saved, and then my brother got saved, and I got saved all the same year. But that praying mama, amen, prayed for years. God saved my husband, saved my children, and it all came to pass the same year. My brother was an alcoholic. He'd be gone 2 or 3 weeks at a time. We wouldn't know where he was. My dad would tell, my mama said, you might as well go ahead and face it. You're going to receive a phone call, and they're going to tell you he's dead. He's dead somewhere. We don't know where he is. He's drunk. He ain't know who we're telling where he is. He slept in cars. He slept on train cars. He's, amen, in all kind of places on drunks. Amen, you know how it is for a drunk. Amen, amen, from one place to another. Amen, strap that old guitar, steel guitar, and playing in honky-tonks most all of his life until the Lord saved him. Amen. Changed his way of direction. And I thank God when mama prayed, heaven paid attention. Amen. Amen. Mother's Day's coming up next week. Next Sunday, I believe it is. Amen. I have great respect for my mother. I have great love for my mother. My mother supported my ministry for many, many years. She stood by me. She prayed for me continuously. She'd give me a card every once in a while, say, son, God's blessed you. You're a special child. God's called you. He's anointed you to preach the gospel. I want to encourage you to keep on going. And because of mama's encouraging words, and because mama's prayed, amen, glory to God, that's the reason why I'm here today. Because mama's love and mama's prayers made all the difference. Nobody can pray like mama. You hear me? I say nobody can pray like mama. Oliver B. Green was a great man of God. Amen. On up to the age of 20 years old, he strayed so much in sin. He was a drunk. He was deep in sin. Some of you may have read his biography. But about at 20 years of age, when he come in about 2 o'clock one morning, and he went by mama's bedroom, and there she was praying on her knees. Amen, Lord, I don't know where Oliver is, but God have mercy on my son. He stopped in his tracks, and he heard that mama's prayer. Conviction gripped his heart. God saved him, called him to preach the gospel. Won hundreds and thousands of people and led them to the Lord. And them old tent revivals and tent meetings. Amen. A great man of God who stood for many years. Why? Because he heard mama pray. Why? Mama was that example. Amen. Glory to God. It's amazing what prayer can do. When it comes to your children, don't give up on your children. Pray for them. It doesn't matter what they may say. It doesn't matter how they may rebel. Amen. Keep on praying. Keep on praying for them. Amen. My two sons always knew all their life what it was to pray. Their mom and daddy'd pray. My oldest son, he's 27 years old, and he's not in church right now like he needs to be. But he calls for prayer many, many times. Mom and daddy pray. My youngest son, he'll turn 25 this year. He's a praying young man. We was going down the road yesterday, talking about all the scriptures,
talking about his relationship with God, talking about the Holy Ghost interpretations and all the things that's been evident in his life. God's used him, God's blessed him, and he's still struggling in some things. Amen. And here it is, me and my wife try to give him some encouraging words in his walk with the Lord. I thought, here it is, my son, he's not married yet, lives by himself all alone. Amen. But he has on his mind, he's going to serve the Lord. I pray for him many times. I say, God, send him to help me to stand by him and love him and support him. God, I don't know if you have a calling on his life. I don't know what you're doing in his life. But I know this. He knows that mom and daddy's praying. And he knows that prayer changes circumstances. And he knows that if we'll prevail in prayer, amen, something's going to take place. Amen, something's going to happen. Amen, it's amazing, church, amen. Amen, do you know there's no more of a powerful force on earth than a man and his wife in unity when they pray? Listen, Jesus said where there's two agreeing, there's no more better agreement than a man and woman. Take her by the hand, brother, right there. Right here. He said, where there's two agreeing as touching anything on the earth, it shall be done. There's no more stronger force and powerful force than agreement right here and what Jesus was saying. Amen. If Jesus went on to say concerning the mystery of the church that a man should love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now when they come together and this relationship is true, this relationship is faithful, God honors it, God will bless it, and God will pour out his spirit. Do you hear me? Amen. There's no more greater power. Amen. Now when a man and his wife come together and pray, things will begin to change. Things will happen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please me. For he that cometh to me must believe that I am, and that I am a rewarder to them that diligently seek me. Seek me with all your heart. Trust in me. Amen. Lean upon me. I'll be a God that'll be true to you, that I'll never forsake you in your time of suffering, your time of trial. I am a God that's looking down upon your heart today, seeing that you need to call on me in faith, and I'll remove the very obstacles and mountains in your life, for I'm a God that'll stand true. I'm a God that'll love you unto the end. If you only have faith to believe my word and stand on my promise, I will love thee and I'll keep thee through this last day sufferings. It has come upon the last day, church. I am God and I'll always be God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Stand upon my promises, for my promises are true, saith the Lord. I am a God that has redeemed thee. I am a God that has bought thee with a price. Therefore glorify me in your body and in your spirit, which belongs to me, saith the Lord. I am a God that will lead you. I am a God that will also test thee, that through the time of testing your faith is what will keep you until the end. For those that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. I am a God that will reward thee in the midst of your weeping.
Amen. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning for my children. Look unto me this day, saith the Lord, and I will uplift thee above the shadows and place thy feet upon higher ground. For I am a God that will remain true if you only look to me for what you need, saith the Lord. Let's reverence him, church, this morning. Let's raise our hands and glorify and magnify God. Listen, it's amazing, church, this morning, what prayer can do. It's amazing to me what God is doing here this morning. It's amazing to me what God will do for a people that is hungry. It's amazing to me if you look upon the faith that God has placed in your life. Amen. Not to look to the left and look to the right. Amen. But if you stand upon God's word, his word is infallible. His word is powerful. It's quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. You hear me this morning? It's quick. It's alive. It's powerful than any two-edged sword. It's the word of God. It'll stand and it'll be alive and open in the day of judgment. Therefore, we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will be judged according to the deeds that we have done in this body, whether good or bad. This appointed to man wants to die. And after this, the judgment. For the great white throne judgment for the sinner, and the judgment seat of Christ for the righteous. But I'm telling you, saints of God, not only shall we be judged, but the judgment and wrath of God's fallen on the world that we're living in. Upon America that has forsaken their altars and have turned to idolatry. You hear me? Amen. They worship Obama. They worship him. They're going to worship man. They're going to worship the Antichrist. Amen. When the Antichrist comes on the scene, he shall have power. Amen. Oh, yes. And when the mark of the beast shall come, and those who take that mark shall be doomed to hell. But listen, I believe the church of Jesus Christ will be able to escape it. Now watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Glory to God, church. It's the power, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the power and the authority of God's written word. Even when Satan come to tempt Christ, it was the written, infallible truth of God's holy word that Jesus referred to him and looked to him and said unto him, "For it is written, do not tempt the Lord thy God." Do not tempt the Lord thy God. Amen. Worship him, and him only shall thy serve. Amen. I'm glad to know I'm serving him this morning. I fail in my service to God. Me and my wife's been talking about stewardship here lately. Stewardship over my money. Stewardship over things that you know that you really don't think about. Are we good stewards? Amen. Glory to God. Are we true disciples? Are we walking the way that he'd have us to walk? Are we talking the talk and walking the walk? Are we staying in true fellowship with God? Listen, church, it's only going to be for the redeemed. It's only going to be for the disciple has forsaken all. There's a message that come to me one day. A title of a message. As far as I know, I've never preached it. Amen. The scripture of what Jesus said. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus must be everything or he is nothing. That message come to my mind. I hadn't preached it. I got it written down on a little note in my Bible. One day maybe I'll preach it. Amen. Jesus Christ must be everything or he is nothing. You've heard the saying, if you missed heaven, you missed it all. Heaven to gain, hell to shun. I said it before in my preaching, I'll say it again. I'd rather try and fail than die and go to hell. In other words, Brother Joel, I'm going to struggle. Amen. I'm going to face the forces of evil. I'm going to have to press my way through. I'm going to suffer in this body. I'm going to suffer oppression. It comes in my mind. But I got a determination and a desire within me I've never had before. Say, hold on, son. Just a little longer. Your suffering's going to be over. Your reward's going to be for those who endure and stay steadfast in the work that I've called you to do.
Church, I'm just going to be honest with you. That's the best way we can be, I guess. July, I've been preaching for 22 years. I preached in places I thought I wouldn't be able to preach, but God allowed it. I thank God for those opportunities. I pastored two churches for 18 and a half years. I've been trying to evangelize, and I thought, well, this must be it. Maybe God wants me this way. I had one brother that tells me continually, he said, brother, you got a pastor's heart. And I can't seem to get away from that. God has placed a burden upon me. Amen. And a pastor's, amen, vision. Amen. And a pastor's burden. Amen. To feed the flock of God. Amen. In places I go, I know it may be evangelistic work. I can go to the prisons. I can go on the street corners. I can go to places. But you know what I'm struggling with? Is being in the center of God's will, preaching to a flock of people who's hungry for the righteousness of God. Preaching to a people who wants holiness more than anything. God said, I called you to the holiness. I ain't called you to uncleanness. I've called you to holiness. I say, God, I struggle. I say, Lord, what I'm going to do. I say, God, I got to have the right direction. I say, God, there's a burden. I say, God, but there must be an outlet. And when there's an outlet, there's going to be some glory. When there's an outlet, there's going to be some praise. When there's an outlet, there's going to be a prayer. When there's an outlet, there's going to be deliverance. When there's an outlet, I say, God, there's an outlet somewhere. The light of thy word is leading me to a place of departure. For hungry people who humble themselves and seek the face of God. For the remnant of the last day church. He said, I'm calling you and leading you in paths that you've never known before. Go back and seek for the old paths. I'll lead you in truth. Amen. I'll be a God. It will always be to you the God that you desire for me to be. If you only look up and not look down. Don't stray to the left and to the right. Depend upon my word like you depend upon your food for your body. And I'll be a God that will feed you to the innermost being. For Jesus said, he that believeth, amen, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. I done preached the gout right out. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's amazing what prayer can do, church. But the thing about it is this. It's from the pulpit to the pew. That's what I like about this thing. It works on you and it works on me, brother. I'm not so high up here. Just because God's called me don't make... Amen. I know there's a calling. I know there's a preaching of the word. But that don't make me no better than what you are. There's no big eyes and little U's in this thing. Amen. But I tell you this. God will use those who desire to be used. God will touch you and move your life and strengthen you and lead you to avenues you've never been in before. What I'm saying, what I said earlier is this, church, please pray for me. I'm not a pew sitter. I used to be for years. I mean, I played music. I taught in Sunday school. That was a good thing to do. But once you have a calling in your life, you see what I'm saying? When you've got a calling in your life to minister the word of God, it's like a fire that is shut up within you and you're trying to contain it when it's wanting to spread. What can you do? Are you sustaining that? Amen. And that's what I feel like I've been doing. I'm just honest with you. God, listen, it's come down to this right here. We just have a few more days. I was reading in Ecclesiastes some of the scripture that whatever you find your right hand to do, do it with all your might. And I can't be a man that has his hands tied. I can't be that way. I got to go while I can go and do what I can do. God has sent me here for a purpose and for a reason. I don't know altogether what it is, but I'm telling you just, church, I may come, I may go, because I'm in that position, right, coming and going. I may not be back no more. You see what I'm saying? But I ask you as a people, please, I ask you, please, pray for me. I feel like it's a load. I feel like I've carried it as far as I can go. I say, God, it's got to release. See, men can stand in the way of God's will. Do you believe that? It's already happened to me. Amen. Men can stand in the way of what God desires to do because of the spirit of rebellion. And I've already seen it happen. But I want to be wherever God sends me. I thought about going to the prison ministry. It's hard to get into prison ministry. There's so many ministers that want to be in the prison ministry. I had an outlet to go in, but it was closed for some reason. He hadn't called me back. That's been months and months ago. When I preach to those prisoners, it's a wonderful, joyous feeling. God may be calling me to the jail ministry. He may be calling me. I don't know what he's calling me to do right now. I really don't know. I'm just not fulfilling my ministry to the full content of what God is actually wanting me to do. But I want to see there's an outlet. And I want to, and listen, Brother Lanier is a great man of God. God has blessed this church. I thank you for the opportunity to preach. You see what I'm saying? Hey, man, I can go to another church somewhere. It may be the same way. It may not be that way. But just pray for me. I'm not saying I'm leaving. I'm just saying I'm in a position I could leave at any time. Because I just want to follow wherever God leads me. But I got to be preaching. This friend, and well, he's a relative, really. He talks to me occasionally. He said, brother, you got a pastor's love and a pastor's heart. You need to be doing something. I said, oh God, what am I going to do? Where am I going? What can I do? I said, oh God. But church, hey man, I know you don't understand. Amen. But please pray for this old preacher. I've been in this thing too long now. I can't sit back on God. If I have to preach on the riverside, if I have to preach in the jails, if I preach on the streets like I used to, amen. I strapped that old guitar and played music for over 5 years with no other music in the church. I was only music. I'd done all the preliminary, taught Sunday school, preached. The only music I had was strapping that guitar for many years with no help and no support. But I kept pressing on. I said, God. I'm here today. Amen. You see what I'm saying? Amen. It's those that press on. It's for those who desire. Listen, church, we're in a place now. I say we got a few more days. If we don't support the man of God, if we don't get behind the man of God, if we don't be obedient for what the Word of God teaches us and support the ministry like we should and be mission-minded like we should, listen, amen, if a church is not mission-minded, it's a dying church.
You hear me? Amen. Glory to God. I believe in missions. I know we're limited on what we can do because the way we're in a recession, things that's going on, so many things happening. Amen. But we need to give when we feel like we can't give. Amen. We just need to do what we can. Can you say amen? Are you with me, church? Amen. Listen, I got some things written on paper I want to share with you here.
Bless you, Lord.
This morning. Now, this is powerful. I've written this down on paper. What prayer can do. Prayer can draw us near to God. Prayer can open the way to a spirit-filled life. Prayer can bring us power for the ministry. Prayer can bring this body under subjection. Prayer can build us up spiritually. Prayer can help us overcome Satan. Prayer can classify the will of God. Prayer can enable us to receive these spiritual gifts. Prayer can bring us into fellowship with God. Amen. Prayer can bring grace and mercy and power to us in the time of need. Amen. This prayer that we're preaching about this morning, amen, what it can do can give us wisdom and revelation and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Prayer can bring to us healing. Prayer can bring us from trouble. Prayer can open the windows of heaven. Prayer can bring us, amen, to help us to lead others to Christ. Prayer can make the very presence of God real to us. Prayer can help us love our enemies. Prayer can help us to know more about God and His love. Prayer can change our situations. And most of all, if we pray in faith, it will move mountains. It's amazing what prayer can do. I'm going to share this in my closing. I may have shared this here before. I can't remember because I've been preaching in a lot of places. Back in 1991 when I started my ministry, established a church, I had a relative there that was married. She was married to my first cousin, and she come down with lung cancer at 46 years old. She was a heavy smoker before she got saved. When she got saved, the Lord sanctified her, cleaned her up. She prayed. She carried an oxygen bottle with her to church. She had that cancer. It was killing her. Well, we had prayed for this woman. I was having revival with Brother Kinlaw. This was back in October 1991. We was having revival, Brother Russell Kinlaw from Lumberton. I'm sure most of you know him. And so during that revival, she started running a high fever. So they went ahead and took her on to the hospital. And there she went into a coma. Me and her husband and one of the men from the church went by. We walked into the room. There she was. She was not responding. Her eyes was done rolled back in her head. No response to life. The nurse came in to check her. Checked her blood pressure. And her blood pressure was so low. She said, I'm going to have to report it to the doctor and see what he'd have me to do. When she walked out of the room, praise God, I looked to the brethren. I said, let us pray. Brother Joel, we prayed. And it's such a wonderful thing to know, church, that when you witness the power in prayer, amen, like I'm fixing to tell you, we agreed together and we prayed. After we had prayed, she opened her eyes. She sat up in the bed. She looked around. She said, I'm hungry. I want something to eat. Amen. The nurse came back in the room. She was startled at what she had seen. Like, what's happened? Amen. She witnessed the power of prayer. Amen. Praise God. It's amazing, church, what prayer can do. Listen, this woman, she was able to go home from the hospital. The Lord touched her. For 6 months she lived after that time, and she began to get worse and worse. Amen. We had opened her Bible
after she had passed away. We had opened her Bible, or somebody had her husband, whoever it was, give me a little slip of paper. And she had written down, Lord, I want the Holy Ghost. I want that sweet Holy Ghost. She didn't have the breath to pray for it. She was on oxygen. She was not able to pray for the Holy Ghost, seek for the Holy Ghost. But she had written it down on paper. I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When they called me one Friday night at 2:30 in the morning, I got ready and went over there. There she was on the bed. She was dying. Had her little 4-year-old son laying beside her. Me and her husband reached over and I put my head on top of her, my hand on her head, and I began to pray. She was taking her last breath. She was bleeding out her mouth. We was trying to catch the blood with a cup coming from her mouth. She was bleeding to death, hemorrhaging. And she was dying. While we were praying for her, she was dying. And she passed on. I walked into the other room where she had two girls there, about a 12-year-old girl and a 16-year-old girl. Woke them up out of their sleep. Mama's gone. They begin to scream, cry, and weep. And here I am right in the middle of it. Say, God, what can I do now? Mama's gone. The cancer finally killed her. But you know what, church? My mind goes back to the time that we prayed in the hospital. And God extended her life for 6 more months. He could have took her then, but He allowed her to live 6 more months. When I preached her funeral, we preached it on the sidewalk. That's right. Poor family wasn't able to make much of a funeral arrangement. We preached her funeral on the sidewalk. About to come up a cloud that day, and it looks like it was going to pour down rain any minute. Me and Brother Danny Witt was preaching the funeral. Sister Grace Norris was preaching that funeral. And God withheld the rain long enough for us to preach that funeral service. Took her off to the cemetery, laid her to rest. But before we got to the cemetery, that great Holy Ghost power that her husband, he had already received the Holy Ghost. And while she was laying, amen, in that casket, amen, he just hovered over her and speak in that heavenly language. My mind goes back to that now. And how he was so much full of the power of God. And God kept him and sustained him for a while. Turned around, remarried after a period of time. Now he's done passed from this life. He's gone now. But I'm telling you, church, we don't understand all things that goes on every time. I think about Brother Kenneth Lanier. We went by to see him last Sunday. He had a good spirit about him. Good man. You can just tell by talking to him, he's a good man. Good spirit. Humble spirited man. But he still had on his mind he's going to die. Well, Brother Billy spoke up and said, well, nobody wants to die. Brother Josh, you don't want to die. I don't want to die. But it's appointed a man wants to die. And after this, the judgment. Brother Kenneth is, 67, 68 years old. Amen. His life will soon be over, whether it's a few months, a few weeks, a few years, or 20 years. It's still just a short time. And here I am, 47 years old. Every day, almost every day of my life, I think about dying. I'm going to die. I'm going to leave here. I told my wife the other day, just like Brother Jeff said in the Sunday school lesson when Brother Beasley was here, somebody's going to get my stuff. I told my brother yesterday, we was over there, he was showing me some things. I said, there's a brother in the church said, somebody's going to get my stuff, man. He's going to get my stuff. He said, you know, but it's something to do, ain't it? I said, yeah, we can go ahead and do it if we want to. But somebody's going to get it. It's worthless. The preacher, Solomon, his wisdom, amen, the old preacher man, said it's vanity, vexation of spirit. It's not good for nothing. Somebody's going to get my stuff. I'm going to leave this world. But I said, God, please let me leave it with heaven on my mind. It's more precious than my wife and my children, my grandson. I about practically raised my grandson. He's like my own. I think of him no more than my own sons. He's just like my own. I don't know why it works out that way. It just does. Amen. But anyway, I got three boys. And still I'm dying. I could die today. I went to the doctor about the gout. He puts me on this medicine. I feel a little cloudy in my mind. I feel a little drowsy, a little dizzy. I'm on high blood pressure medication. A few years ago, they put me on that. Sometimes I sit back there, my heart a little race a little bit, and you think, well, is this going to be it? You know how your mind works. But what's going to make the difference, Son of God, is knowing where you are and how you stand with your Maker. I don't care what you're driving. I don't care what you live in. I don't care how much money you got or what less money you have. He's coming for you, whether through the clouds or by the way of death. And young as well as the old, we're not promised tomorrow, Josh. I want to tell you something, Josh. You're a special young man to me. I told my wife the other day, I hadn't even known him that long. I said, I claim him like my own. God's given me a burden for this young man. I feel it in my heart, you see. And I love you, little brother. I do. If there's any way I could help you, you let me know. But anyway, church, I don't know how you feel about the service. I don't know how God's speaking to you. That's all in God's control. I'm just man. I'm just flesh. And I don't know what God's dealing with you about, but I'm telling you this. If there's something standing in your way, I'd get it out of the way. If there's something hindering you, you need to get it out. If you ain't got your mind fully made up, if you want to play with sin, you go ahead and play with it. But you're going to get burnt. So what's going to happen to you? You're going to be eternally lost, and you're going to hell over the blood of Jesus Christ. And I think about my people, Brother Joel. I don't mean to linger the service, but God's in this church. I don't know altogether what you're facing. I don't know what you're thinking. But I know one that knows your thoughts, just right what you're thinking at this very moment. I know one that knows your heart and everything about you. The very hairs of your head are numbered. And God knows. But I don't want to close this service this morning without knowing that somebody has received something from God. I don't know how you're struggling financially. I don't know how you're struggling spiritually. I don't know what kind of sickness is in your body. But I do know this. I go back to the scripture. If there is any sick among you, call for the elders of the church. Anoint with oil, that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If he's committed any sins, it shall be forgiven him. Amen. Help me believe that this morning.
Glory to God.
So why would I want to close this service without somebody receiving help from God? How's it going to be, preacher? It's going to be like this. You respond by faith. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, too. I sit on the back. I observe some of you. That's just the way a preacher can do. Now, God's put me in that position where I can know how to pray for some of you. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to get down on your level just a little bit. Some of you is not serious about your relationship with God, and you know who you are. Your mind gets distracted. You're not thinking about what the preacher's really saying. You don't have no concern about praying in these altars. If you want to go ahead and do that, you go ahead. But this preacher warned you, and his preacher will warn you again. You better get serious with God, because he's going to be serious with you. And when you stand before him, it's not going to cause, you're going to put up an excuse because of mom and daddy or Brother Lanier or Brother Caps. You're going to stand for yourself. Oh, can I say amen? That's how serious this thing is, church. I see people drift in this church and drift out. I say they don't have no relationship with God. If you're going to get in with God, you better get in while you can. And you better get in with all your heart. Amen. One of the interpretations I remember when Brother Beasley was here, one of those interpretations was about playing church. Somebody needed that. God works in mysterious ways. And I don't mean to linger you too long. But there's something I will do. I'm going to obey God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I am a God that will pass judgment. I am a God that will pour my wrath upon this nation. For many people are in the spirit of rebellion. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, saith the Lord. But for my people who I am called, I will lead you in paths of righteousness for my name's sake. If you only commit your way unto me, trust in me, I will bring it to pass. For I am a God that has overshadowed you with my love. I am a God that has kept thee and has led thee. But you must respond to my word. You must be led of my spirit. For I am a God that's looking down upon you this hour. If you'll turn unto me and turn away from the things that are bringing you unto bondage, the things that are hindering you from your prayer time with me, saith the Lord, I will reward you and bring you to the place that you desire to be with me, saith God. But you must first seek my kingdom and all of my righteousness. Then all these other things shall be added unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's give him praise, church. Let's lift up our hands. Now, I want to tell you something, saints of God, this morning. God has ordained this service. You hear me this morning? God has ordained this service the way that it's meant to be. And all I can do is say this morning. If you will, please, everyone that has a need, I don't care what the need is, will you please come and come quickly and stand up here with me? Come on, quickly, come. Well, sister, will you come here just a minute? The one that prayed, yeah, come here. Amen. This girl here prayed last week. You remember that? She was here last Sunday night, back again today. She's young. Satan's out to destroy her life. What should we do as a church? Pray for her. We're living in an hour, saints, that Satan will do all he can to destroy these young people where they will not be the church of tomorrow. My heart goes out to her. It's because I know I was there at one time at her age when Satan tried to entrap me and destroy my life, that I knew if I died in that condition, I would go to hell. But because of the mercy and the grace of God,